Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about chewing, also known as mastication. We are going to talk about whether it actually increases your ability to feel full. Is there a reason why we hate the sound of chewing? And is chewing gum good or bad for thine body? This is inspired because I just got my wisdom teeth out, currently can't chew.
And week you got without, all four out.
All four out, and a week without chewing is hell. And so I'm like, why is chewing so important? Turns out there's a lot of science.
Yeah, I remember that feeling so vividly of like on day two or three, just being so sick of eating slop. And you realize your body craves like crunching down on stuff.
Oh my God. I just want to like viscerally like. But it also makes you feel like a disgusting like organism when I'm like taking scrambled eggs and literally surpassing my mouth and just like shoving it down my tube into my stomach. Like it makes me feel like an object. Like I'm like, just filling myself with gasoline.
It's just substance.
Yeah. Like there's true. Exactly like
it's like Soylent.
Yeah. We've like tricked ourselves into thinking that food is anything but just truly like a fuel source to keep us like sentient before we die. So like, cause you're like, oh fun pizza.
But what do you mean we tricked ourselves?
Like we've created such a lore around food to of mask the idea that really it's just like sustenance for like, you know what I mean? Like we put so much meaning into it and I like, I have not really thought about it, but when you're literally sitting taking cottage cheese and surpassing your teeth and tongue and putting it at the back of your throat and going, it's like, ew, I'm like just fueling myself to not die. It's so depressing.
When I became a vegetarian, it was like cottage cheese became a really useful thing. And now I think it's the most disgusting thing in the world because I ate way too much of it. But you eat it all the time.
I do.
But I didn't mind. It's not because of the taste, but now when I eat it, if I have more than like five bites, the texture of it, and it just like, I don't know, something about it, having too much cottage cheese. I can eat so much yogurt, but too much cottage cheese and I just feel like nauseous.
Well, it's truly yogurt with little curds in it. It's disgusting.
It's not gross. Ultimately, like I love cheese curds and I liked cottage cheese before, but okay, what are you most excited to eat when you feel like you can get any meal? Like if you could have any meal right now, what would you want it to be?
It's like something I can rip. Like something that goes like, like I do kind of think pizza because I really feel like if I ate pizza right now, I would just like bleed everywhere.
And like, pizza is a good mix of soft and hard things. Like the crust is crunchy, but then you have like chewy cheese and then you can get like the different pizza, textures the mozzarella. Of vegetables. And all that.
Yeah. Also, you can't really have fried things. Like fried things. Like a crunchy fried like tempura sweet potato.
Oh yeah, or like a what do you say? Like what are those cheese sticks called?
mozzarella stick.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, called? Like a mozzarella stick?
Yeah, you're right. A mozz.
I'm like, it's like probably not even
I don't
Italian.
Know the authentic Italian yeah, version. I know mozza stick.
I'm pretty sure that was invented at Eastside Mirrors and it's not Italian.
Yeah, that would be good. Maybe I'll get one of those tonight.
Oh, I'm going to be so jealous. Okay, let's get into what did we learn this week, because we're going to have more on chewing later.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Well, actually, mine is related to chewing.
Oh, okay, we're back.
So is it better to segue later, like, for you to go first? Because yours is not related.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do
I'll
mine
bring
first.
Us back to chewing.
It's not have anything to do with chewing. So I'm reading this book about... Oh, God, I don't even know what it's called. It's called, like, Being Me. Okay, it's not what it's called. But it's about consciousness. It's like a new
you
science
know what
book
it's
on
called?
Consciousness. No, that's what I just realized. I'm
is
like,
being
oh, Being You.
You. I can see it.
Okay, it's called Being You. Who's it by? Emile Seth?
Yes, that's what it says.
It's good. So far, it's really good. And so...
Being Me.
Being Me. Really fun. Actually, oh, my God. Consciousness is so cool. I love it. Because it's like science and philosophy and physics and blah. But one thing... that I learned about is that if you were to put a barrier in between your eyes, so like a line, like a piece of cardboard coming out from
like blocking each eye from the other,
yeah,
sort of
so
thing.
Each eye from the other, and one eye was shown like a bird and one eye was shown like the CN Tower. Mm-hmm. Like according to like physiology, some people might think you would produce an image in your brain that's a hybrid of the CN Tower and the bird.
Okay.
But it's like your consciousness is incapable of that and will always go back and forth a few seconds on each one, and you'll see the bird and you'll see the CN Tower and you'll see the bird
and you're
you'll
just
see
processing
the CN Tower.
That you're looking at two different images.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's just, it's called the binocular, what's it called? The binocular, oh shoot, it, oh binocular, it's called binocular rivalry. And it's like when people were starting to try and, you know, study and understand consciousness, they're like, technically if we made a robot with like our brains, like maybe that robot would create a hybrid image, and they think that consciousness is like there's something there to the fact that like your worldview and brain will always choose one over the other rather than creating a duplicate image on top of each other.
Huh.
Isn't that weird though? I just was thinking about how I'm like
related to consciousness.
That's yeah. What... Well, like he's all his whole books are consciousness. So he's taking lots of science things and relating them, but he's saying he's like, it's your consciousness that is not allowing
deciding
you
that you're seeing one image and the other, then the other, then the other, and not like some weird mashup of the two.
Exactly. It's like your neurons are firing in a way that like, you know,
wonder what a spider sees.
Yeah. Or it's just like, it's just cool. It's like, you can't control it. Your whole worldview decides one or the other.
Right.
Anyways. Well.
No, that's cool.
Like,
yeah,
it's like that's cool.
It's weird when you realize your brain does stuff without your permission.
I know.
You know, and most of it is without my permission.
And it's just like
all the bad stuff, especially
meat, like electricity and meat.
What? Oh, like
your brain is just like
you say meat.
Yeah, it's just like electricity running through gelatiny like meat, and then I'm just like that's me. Like it's crazy. Wow, this book's gonna mess me up.
It is crazy. Oh my God.
So now we can go back to chewing, which is a little more simple.
Yeah, well, okay, mine is like related to chewing, so it's kind of a segue, but it's actually more about what you eat. And so a study recently found how to add 10 years to your life expectancy.
Okay, shut up.
I'm not lying. It's a legitimate study. It was actually a
but
massive
10 years?
10 years. Okay, so I'm not lying.
And the way you're saying it, I'm like, you're lying.
I'm a salesperson right
like,
now.
It literally became a car and salesman.
No. It's a really big study. Okay. Obviously, previous studies have shown like exercising, avoiding smoking, and not drinking increased lifespan.
Okay, that I can make sensey to me.
But this study was looking at the optimal diet. And it looked at all over the world. It was a conglomerate of many different studies. Obviously, there are still limitations to meta-analysis, but this is what they found. Okay, so...
You really are a car salesperson.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, basically, they came up after reviewing all these diets and seeing who lived the longest, they came up with an optimal diet versus a Western diet. Because obviously they were like,
obviously the optimal one
is not the Western. Yeah,
one.
So a Western diet is often high amounts of processed foods, red meats, high fat dairy products, high sugar foods, prepackaged foods, low fruit and vegetable intake.
Okay,
that literally is like the definition that they have technically of a Western diet.
Okay, that is insane. It is not shocking, but we need to like think
address
about that always. Like it's like, oh, when we're defining the Western diet, like. ways aside, he's like the pinnacle of life.
Yeah, it's
like,
actually so crazy.
And the way Western countries have the audacity to like be like, well, we're rich, so we have like, we're superior, but it's like, you're actually killing yourself on the inside.
Yes.
Can you say it one more
time? Yeah, it's high amounts of processed foods, red meats, high fat dairy products, high sugar foods, prepackaged foods, and low fruit and vegetable intake.
It's even like high red meat is even just like, oh, and it's also ruining the environment too. Okay, wow.
And so this isn't like all that surprising because we've probably heard about it before, but like the optimal diet they found was more legumes like beans, peas, lentils, whole grains like oats, barley, brown rice, nuts, and fish, and less red or processed meat and sugar.
Okay.
So that's what, interestingly, like the evidence for minimizing white meat and eggs was still there, but much less significant. So those were on the list of things to minimize. There's a really cool chart. Like I can try and, or I'll maybe post this somewhere so you can find the study.
ASAP Science on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm like, where do I post that?
I know, like, you're just saying that.
I'm like, I work Instagram. On the internet and literally couldn't. I was like, how could I possibly share that? Anyway, so they have a really cool chart and it shows by how much they would change it from the Western diet to become the optimal diet.
Okay.
So like white meat and eggs only got decreased a little compared to red meat, which went to like zero.
Okay, wow.
Anyway, so with using this optimal diet and studying people over the course of many meta-analyses, they found if you started it from age 20, your life expectancy would be a decade longer for both men and women in US, China, and Europe. So all across different cultures. If you started it at 60, it would increase your life expectancy by 8 years. So like not even that much.
60?
Yeah, even if you're starting late, like change your diet and you'll be healthier.
Okay,
you'll live longer.
Have to post that because it's like annoyed. Right now, I'm like, I'm annoyed. I'm like, give me exactly what that diet is because you're telling me I can add years. I'm like, I need to know exactly what it is.
Even 8-year-olds said they could saw increases of 3.5 years to their life expectancy.
Eat your legumes.
Now, the study did something interesting and also created something called a feasibility diet because they were like, okay, Americans or Westerners are not going to change their diet to this fully.
Yeah.
So they basically, with that, it was like a halfway point. And that's in the chart as well. And with that, people who represented that were still seeing great improvements. If they started by 20 years old, it was 6 years
longer.
Wait,
a feasibility diet is like a little more realistic.
It's a halfway point between the Western and optimal diet that they created. So it was like, instead of dropping red meat to zero, it would maybe drop to like a certain quantity that was halfway between.
Wow.
Maybe the red meat, I actually don't remember right now, but the red meat might have been always down to zero. I can't remember. But it was like trying to find a practical balance to like help encourage people, I think, to engage with that diet. The one caveat for the study was that all those changes were documented within 10 years. So they're unsure. Like if you went from a Western diet to the optimal diet, that took place over 10 years in the studies.
Okay.
But not longer.
That's nice.
So they were like, if you did it over 20 years or 30, we actually don't know.
Oh, okay. 10 years seems like a good enough time.
Yeah, but maybe fully changing your diet takes a long time. And I think maybe they're probably thinking of public policy and stuff. Like you can't just change everyone's diet. So if these kind of studies can be used to help implement changes in behavior in society at large, it probably takes a longer time to implement. Yeah. That's like the long-term takeaway is that, you know, change your diet. You can live longer.
And just like, don't eat red meat. Like, red meat is crazy. Like, now that I'm a vegetarian, when I go see the blood, like, dripping out of the, like, styrofoam in, like, a deli.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it is wild. Like, we're so good at cognitive dissonance.
For sure.
And even now, I'm like, I still sometimes eat, like, chicken and stuff because it's, like, cognitively I can still do that for some reason.
But
there's, like, I just can't for some reason with red. And I'm just like, it's just so interesting. It's just a weird mind thing. Like even like when it would be like, oh, I want my burger bloody. Like I used to love that. Like I used to love when like you go to like a nice like, restaurant and then like, I'd be like, there's blood. Like they like, why?
It's real.
I was like, it's real. Like that is superior.
I mean,
but that's so weird.
I would still say I think that like, obviously it's amazing. More and more people are trying to be vegetarian, vegan. Obviously, I think like historically humans were eating meat for a long time. So there is like an evolutionary response that you probably have the same way.
To the blood.
It's like
the
fat.
Meat.
And then you're conditioned to know that there'll be salt with it. It's like all these things that taste
and
really
chewing.
Good. Yeah.
People love to
you really
chew
get a good chew out of
steak.
Like, Because it's actually so chewy.
But why? Because it's like you're actually just eating flesh that's not deteriorating well.
Oh my God. Like chewing is crazy. I'm like, I'm now just like daydreaming about the ability to chew steak.
but like, no, it's true. I'm sounding self-righteous and so annoying. I'm not trying to. I'm just like, it is crazy that we just eat bloody meat. Like it just is. But then I guess it's not.
I don't think it's that crazy.
But it's crazy.
But it's interesting that these diets, I think like, it's not saying have zero red meat, but I think obviously those are the imminent factors of like, if you're gonna get rid of anything, get rid of red meat, because it's gonna
It's just like, it is just kind of weird, because I think what we've been told, I'm just like going there with this, there's not actual proof, but I'm sure there's probably some sociology behind it, like through the patriarchy, about like this over significance of meat, even in hunter-gatherer societies, when you learn that they weren't eating very much meat, like they were lucky when they got the meat, but it's really the caloric intake was from berries and nuts and legumes. So it's like, I think we're taught through like literal like pictures and history books of like old Homo sapiens, like men spearing meat.
Right. The imagery like, we're given is like,
is
yeah.
So like, because but that's moments, what we always ate. But it's like, no, you actually didn't. Your body's designed to eat a shit ton of freaking nuts, because that's what you were actually eating a lot of. And every once in a while, well, when a woman speared the dang bison, which is something else we're learning, is that the women were actually hunting and the men were just like like blowing each other or something.
Oh my God, you're so extra.
Well, I'm just like, but it makes sense. It's interesting that we're taught that.
Like, probably because meat was like hard to come by, it would be way more exciting. And so there's probably a lot more rituals around like meat and food, because it's like, it is a big deal to have that much calories, to not have to forage for an extended period of time, because now you have a whole body of an animal. So it maybe like, as much as I'm agreeing, like that is what's in pop culture when we look to hunter-gatherers, we see them like butchering animals. But probably because those moments also were so important, like that's probably carried through history. Like when you look at cave paintings and there's literally like animals being killed or whatever.
Yeah, because they're like, now that's significant, let's paint about it. When really like every 362 other days of the year they were eating a dang legume.
Exactly. Yeah.
And our bodies are designed to last long and live longer by eating legumes. That's the part that I think is like worth knowing.
What was interesting in this study was that for the optimal diet, they increased fish. And so obviously a consumption of fish can still have a negative impact on our environment, especially like overfishing and all that. So it is interesting though to know like fish was part of an increase in what they believed to be part of the optimal diet.
When they literally literally till the bottom of the ocean to get fish. It's so sad.
They're going to figure out a way, hopefully, to make fake fish that's just like actually has the same profile. Like one day we'll just be eating fish that we're never even.
Or like even I'm all for farming it. Like those giant like Norwegian fish farms. I'm like, they're so efficient. Go for it. I don't care.
Well,
no,
we've got to figure. Like, I actually don't. I'm curious about that. I don't know enough about fish farming to have like a political stance. Like I'm sure there is like pretty big environmental impacts, or maybe biodiversity impacts, or you know what I mean.
There's not to be like just. To negate what you're saying, but what I read in Nature magazine about like how we will continue to eat meat in the future if we want to, fish farming is so important.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's not important,
but it's like it's actually like quite minimal in its impact because of the way that it's the way that they design them. They're like tubes, like there's the floating sort of like top. So picture like the coast of Norway. This is where they have a bunch of them. There's like these cylindrical tubes that go into the water. And then it's like filled with the fish. Like if you think about like the ocean, that's not like a necessary like dense part of the ocean where like there's lots of biodiversity.
Yeah, I didn't mean that though. Oh. I meant like biodiversity in like the kinds of fish that get produced, because obviously they're probably like only producing some kinds of fish.
Oh, like salmon.
I don't know. Sorry, I don't know enough about it, but I am just thinking everything that's better for the environment is still like everything humans do has an environmental cost. So I would be surprised if there still aren't criticisms of.
I'm sure there are, but if you think about the fact that
populations, and it still is animal cruelty. Like
Like if we're talking about like consciousness and sentience, it's like they all probably are looking around like this is insane. Those captive humans are evil. But like if you think about the fact that the population is increasing, like these inevitabilities of the future, and then you think about what literally like it takes to grow a cow, and we think about the impacts of water and carbon dioxide and all these things, and then you picture the ocean and fish farming, it's like you can start to put together how they think if we are going to continue to eat meat at the capacity of the population growing, we really should be thinking about fish farms.
Fair, but yeah. I guess what I was saying was in the long run, we hope to have like be able to make those things from scratch. Like now they're making artificial meat.
You mean like actually that, like a lab vibes?
Yeah, like it's actually meat because it's made with meat like cells, but it was never an animal. Like they've already done that with like prototypes for like steaks and stuff that
so you're picturing a future of fully lab grown meat.
Well, I mean that would presumably have an even lower environmental impact. Yeah. At least on the actual like maybe there's still a lot of like CO2 release
in terms of energy. Oh my god, the future is so scary.
Do you think we'll be alive? Okay, let's make a bet right now. Do you think we'll be alive it's like more popular to eat lab meat?
Whoa.
Or do you think that's gonna take so long?
Okay, so I'm not gonna put out into the universe that I'm gonna live to 80 because then I'm gonna get hit by a bus like tomorrow.
No, but let's
say I live to 80.
If you live another 50 years, like
that's it? And then I'm 80? Oh god.
No, you're more than 80 in 50 years.
Oh my
honey.
God. How long have I been alive? 33? Okay, so it's like oh my god, that's so scary. I'm gonna vomit. I'm about to vomit on this. Thinking about this, I'm about to vomit on this, and you're never gonna hear this recording. 50 years. Do I think lab grown meat will? I know what I can say. I goddamn hope so. Yeah. Yes, I hope so. And I do think that in 50 years, we will be eating more lab grown red meat than farmed red meat. And that's me with just shutting my eyes, wincing, and crossing my dang fingers.
I think I don't actually know or like this is not based on anything, but I really hope so as well. Like in my mind, we get to be part of that future. But like obviously there's a sad thing where it's like maybe progress does not go as fast as people think. And
like every time there's a new prime minister or a new president and you're like nothing's changed. And like, well, that means nothing's changed. Nothing's
like,
changed.
But in like, some ways I look back and so much has changed. And then in other ways you're like, oh, we've been having the same debate since the 70s.
Okay, truly. Sometimes I watch old movies and I'm like, they're still talking about BPA and plastics.
Yeah.
Like they were already talking about that.
Or like women's rights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like literally it's like we're still God. You're
just like we haven't sorted that. They've been talking about it for literally 50 years. It's crazy sometimes to look back and be like, I thought that was like a modern conversation.
Yeah, or it's like, oh yeah, like red like eating less red meat is good. And then people are like, you're gonna take my steaks away, I'm gonna shoot you. And you're like, holy shit, I didn't think that there'd
like
be
a movie
that
from
reaction.
The 1930s.
Yeah, like whenever there's like a progressive, just like simple solution that I think's gonna happen, it like is met with like hostility of like murderous rampage. It's like, wait, what? Like I thought there'd be pushback, but I didn't think it would be like identities would be built on this.
I guess it's capitalism.
There she is.
Because people, I mean, there's profit to be made, and so there's politics to be played.
Yeah.
Has anyone said that before?
I'm dating Marx. I'm dating Karl Marx. I'm kidding. Like
Mitchell Marx, actually.
No, I'm about to roll back and be like, everyone is allowed to make fun of us forever. No, I know. But actually, Mitchell Marx is a gorgeous name. If you ever do like move on from this and become some sort of like, I don't know,
politician.
Like, I don't even know.
You
like,
think I
like
should change pianist. My name? I'm so far off from that.
Mitchell
like,
Marx.
Oh, if I was a pianist.
I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like a pianist. Yeah. That'd be a good one.
But then it's like, am I just like pretending I'm not from here?
Yeah. Also, Mitchell Moff is really good. And everyone would be like, okay, we got it. You think you're a Marxist, but like, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, you live in a home. You
okay,
own
we
land.
Haven't even started the episode yet. I mean, we have. I just mean, should we get into the main part? Okay. All right. We'll be back after a little break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Mastication.
Chewing.
Misophonia.
My mouth's so dry right now.
Misophonia.
From something I chewed on a little earlier.
Misophonia is the hating of the sound of chewing. What is the definition?
Yeah, it's
of
like there's just some people that literally get so triggered from hearing people chew. But misophonia in general is like sounds, but often it is people chewing.
Oh, so it could be the other ones like styrofoam. On...
Yeah, just like misophonia is like the, like, I don't know that it's the technical definition, but like the irrational hatred of certain sounds, especially that come from like people's body. So like breathing or chewing.
Huh. So interesting. Because I was about to be like, let's chew into the mic for them, but people might rip
but
their
I guess
AirPods.
Other
out.
People though, like love ASMR. And there is like obviously some part of our brains that are so connected, even if we don't hate it, we're kind of like, it is weird.
I must say, sometimes if like everyone gets silent and there's someone beside me chewing, I'm like, drop my fork and F. I'm like, I hate that. Like, it's so weird. Like, it only is sometimes. I don't care. Like, I don't think I have misophonia, but I'm like, there are just weird moments, like once every month, I feel like, where I hear someone chew and I'm like, well, I'm about to flip this table and punch you in the face. Like,
well,
what is that?
Maybe you actually have it.
No, but it's like so weird. It's
like, yeah, everyone knows it a bit.
Like,
and then you're like, and then I'll kill this person. No. I was like, oh, I don't actually
it's like,
have that.
That's what I mean. It's like irrational. It's like, I feel like it's happened to me recently. We were at that diner. But when we were like at the diner, when we were going cross country skiing, you went to the bathroom
and you heard,
and it was like weirdly so quiet because everyone was like first time back in a restaurant, like after lockdown or something. But the guy beside me was chewing and I was like about to like go throw my coffee in his face and be like, want to stop chewing there, bud? But it was like, but like, it doesn't happen to me that often. It just, there's something.
It was so isolated for you in that moment too.
And chewing can do that to you. Like,
yeah.
It's a really weird sound. But it's weird that it has a definition and that people really struggle with misophonia.
Yeah, and like if you want to throw your coffee in someone's face, you probably have misophonia.
Yeah. But
I've definitely noticed, and sometimes I go like, oh, that's rude. Like chew more nicely and privately. Because some people are like, they're chewing so loud and it's kind of like you're seeing food in their mouth. And that can be gross.
But is there any like, you know, evolutionary biologist who just made some crazy leap being like, people spittled poison or like bacteria through their food talking,
like,
and that's why you hate it? Or is there only like really like management?
I don't know. I had looked into this a lot before, but I don't think we like have an evolutionary theory for why people have
You know what I mean?
But you're right, because that fear of holes, we kind of go like, oh, because what is it called, like you know when you see a lot of holes?
Sorry, I've never been as scared of a hole in my life.
Oh, my God. Is it called like...
No, yeah. Tryptophan's the amino acid. But it is like trypto something.
Yeah. Trypophobia.
Look it up. Anyways, what's your point?
That one, people are like, oh, there's an evolutionary route because things that look like that often are like moldy or
viral. Yeah, it does look like mold. It's trypophobia.
Trypophobia. It's like tryptophan. That's why I always get it mixed up.
And also even like fear of spiders. Like, yeah, there's
logical.
Like, yes. Like fear of mice. Remember, it was like, oh, they carry disease and the plague. Like there's a lot of fears, but there's something with the sound of chewing that it doesn't have an obvious evolutionary
premise. This is not necessarily evolutionary, but one of the theories is that the trigger, when you get triggered by chewing sound, you have mirror neurons firing off for that sensation in your brain. And it's so uncomfortable.
Not.
It feels like you're being like intrude upon.
Oh.
Is like a working theory. Obviously,
mirror
that's
neurons
like
are fascinating.
Yeah, that it's like so visceral. And then maybe you feel like kind
of
gross.
So it's kind of like, I thought maybe it was saying like you're hearing, your brain is hearing them. And with mirror neurons being like, oh, I hear a chew noise, therefore you should be chewing, but you're not chewing, and your brain's like, why aren't you chewing?
Well, when I did research on this, what they realized is for a lot of long time, the therapies were on thinking about the sound and dealing with the sound management. Hmm. But then they realized if they got people to mimic the action, it was actually a more successful therapy.
Well, then, okay, mirror neurons are so, we should explain what they are because people might be like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But mirror neurons are so interesting, and it's like they're used a lot in pop science to explain like, why you enjoy the Olympics. Cause like when you physically are watching someone speed skate really well, your body in like the syncopation of watching that, if they study you with fMRI machines, which is oxygenated blood in the brain. So it's not as accurate as like when they see the electricity, but fMRI of you watching it, parts of your brain fire. in like the kinetic physical places as if you were speed skating.
Yeah. And
when
like,
they win, you also you have the dopamine release of winning by seeing a human act like that.
Yeah. If you see someone win and you want them to win, you feel like you won and yeah. get the similar
jump
same
off your
response.
Couch and like, yeah. yeah. It's like why people are going to watch the Super Bowl en masse.
And like and scream. And,
yeah. yeah. There's neurological, so they're called mirror neurons and they're interesting. So it makes sense. You're hearing the chewing,
mm-hmm.
you're not actually acting on it, and that's like absurd.
But it still seems weird.
It's still so
like,
weird.
Well, there's
it's
lots of things so I hear weird. When it's I'm not like so doing weird. It.
No,
I hear footsteps, better start walking.
And honestly,
maybe, I don't know.
I wouldn't even believe it. If someone's like, I have misophobia, I'd be like, that's made up, shut up.
No,
but
I do
I
believe
do
people
feel
have
like
it.
I, and that's what I mean. Like, so I, when I want to punch this guy at the diner, I'm like, there's something there.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like, I've
I'm
had
not
moments
saying it's
where
not
like,
a thing. I'm just saying it's that we don't know why it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, some of the theories are kind of. Who knows?
Well, okay. So chewing, what I really wanted to learn about, because I haven't been chewing all week, was like how it has to do with satiation. So it's like I've been so hungry and not felt satiated at all.
Hmm.
But it's hard because I'm also eating mundane, like I'm eating applesauce, yogurt.
Right. It's also
the same
just
things.
Monotony on
yeah,
top of.
On top of not yeah. chewing.
Because so, if you just ate those same things for 4 days, you'd probably also be like, oh, it's not satisfying
yeah,
me
exactly.
at all.
Like, it's like a bit of both. It's like my life is yeah. a gray malaise right now of literal like slop. But they,
oh
and they,
God.
It is like proven scientifically in many different ways that the more you chew, the more satiated you will feel. So I'm going to talk about those studies today because I think it's kind of interesting and mm-hmm. there's still a lot to learn and it's kind of like new research.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, they were able to study people because it's kind of easy. You just give them, like, it was like 5 grams of almonds. And then they would do these large studies where people would chew either 10 times, 20 times, or 40 times.
Mm.
And then they would just ask them
like,
over 60 minutes, 90 minutes. Yeah, like, how full are you?
Oh, how full
yeah,
are you?
Yeah, like, how hungry are you?
Right.
Like,
okay.
It's like a simple study. I was like, yeah. That's amazing. And they did it with so many people. And there was just like strong correlations
yeah.
between the people who chewed 40 times on 5 grams of almonds. They would be way more satiated at the 120 minute
mark. Oh,
wow. Mark.
Isn't it so weird that my like chewing muscles are like being fired right now?
Oh, really?
Like as you're talking about chewing and I was thinking about food, I was like, no, it was about my mirror neurons were flying off.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I was imagining chewing. I could just like really feel.
Well, chewing's so interesting. It's so visceral. It's
my
just
mouth's
so
like
natural.
A little bit watering, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like something that we all know what everyone
and
can
it is
relate
true,
to.
Like
chewing.
Chewing on it. Makes it more satisfying. So you're saying though they were actually more full
yeah,
as well
at 120 minutes. But then the study also went on to say that the difference between the 25 chews and the 40 chews at like 90 and 120 minutes wasn't that significant.
Mm-hmm.
That they were kind of like, if we're trying to actually use this research to help society, like say it is like help deal with like obesity or something, they're like, sure. It's kind of ridiculous to expect someone to chew 40 times.
On one thing.
On 5 grams of almonds. That okay. They were like 25 times
right.
was still way better than
benefit.
Baseline. That they're like, maybe we should start saying chew your food 25 times or something. Because like 40 is like actually
yeah, like,
insane. You'd be like, like definitely everyone with misophonia would be like, I hate that guy so much.
He's like, I'm just following the science.
Yeah, sorry, 40 chews, gotta do it.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and they also did one about gum. They had people eat gum. Actually, this might segue into you.
Mm-hmm.
But having people eat gum after they ate a meal kept them satiated for longer because they were chewing more.
Yeah, I've heard that. And there's like, I will get to gum. There's like so many interesting things
go,
around
go, go.
Gum. Oh, should I do that now already? We're done talking about like being satiated and stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I have more, but we should go back and forth.
Okay, cool. Gum. That thing you put in your mouth and chew. There, basically, I was trying to look into like, is gum good or bad? And actually find studies around this. Because, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think chewing gum is good for you or bad for you?
Well, I have jaw issues. So they're always like, don't chew gum. And for some reason, I always panic about my migraines because you never know where they come from. And sometimes I'm just like, maybe gum. Like, I was just like trying to be like, that's an easy thing I can eliminate. Maybe it's gum. That's helping my life.
And so you feel like since you've
I've made
gum,
up a reason
gum.
Why it's bad.
I feel like I rarely have gum. We don't ever have gum in this
yeah,
house. Oh, actually, either. We have a package that's just been there for probably 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Once
like,
we're
in
not
a while,
gum people.
Yeah, we're not. And once in a while, I'd be like, no, what? I'd pop in Excel and I go into that drawer and pull out.
And it's
like,
rock hard.
Like tap it on something. It's like, K-k-k-k-k-k. And I was like, if I bit into it, my tooth would break. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, how old is this gum? It's like from 2006.
It actually is from. I think that gum is probably from 2018.
That's, oh, okay.
That's 4 years
no,
old.
No, that's still a long time. And know what it is? It's because, like, you sometimes get gum, like, given to you at said event.
Yeah, maybe it's older, like it's but like I don't, it's out. Not like a 15-year-old gum.
No, I know. I'm just, I was being like, was... hyperbolic. just saying 2018, I was kind of like, oh, it doesn't feel like that much, but it is. But gum is like given out because I'm like, it's not like I ever bought dentine ice since I was like in grade 7. I was going to like make out with someone.
Yeah.
Why do we have it? Oh, know what it is? Every year your mom puts it in a stocking.
Yes. That's it. And actually my family is a gum family.
What? Really?
Yeah, my family always had gum growing up, like in but the car.
But they
it
don't.
It was like fresh breath.
Oh my God, we used to have
not
gum
as
in
like
the car.
Not like a bubble gum, not like being like I just love chewing gum, but it was kind of like oh, it makes my breath feel fresh.
Okay, yeah. Well,
if I'm like heading out. I'll have gum.
definitely for some reason was given gum in the car. Like that was the one place my parents would just randomly like open that front drawer and be like, gum?
Oh my God, that's so
like, did that
weird.
Happen to you too?
Yes. The times I had gum
Why
the most was in the car.
Because I was like, your family's not a gum family. I've truly never seen them chew gum.
So it was just like, but every
but
time
if I got in a car,
you put it back. You're like, yeah. You want some?
No, yeah. No, it's so sad.
You know what I mean? You try.
My family's so granola that they'd be like, Greg, Jill, rip one piece of Trident in half. Like, our treats were split in half.
That's the worst, because then that kind of gum becomes not... It doesn't even, like, fully coagulate.
Oh, it's like...
It's
yeah, it's
small,
like, it's so
like
small.
You're chewing
you're
like, a grain
the
of...
The one time I had Hubba Bubba, I passed out. I was like, are you kidding? This is allowed. And it's crazy. Like, I didn't even question
Hubba
it.
Hubba Bubba's intense when you're actually yeah. like, my jaw...
That can't be good.
...is a workout. Okay.
Now Should explain. I? Now I'm like, because it wasn't the answer. The question, is it good or bad?
Yeah. So, okay. Weirdly, there's like a lot of good things about chewing gum.
Whoa.
Like, and so...
Sponsored by Big Trident.
No. Okay. So I'll say, obviously, like, chewing gum, like you said, you have jaw problems and like it can cause issues. Like, chewing too much gum for some people frequently is not a good thing. And you can develop headaches and... joint pain, damage your teeth. So like for some people, okay, it's not
okay,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like, no, I'm not here for big gum.
No, but I have some weird, interesting, positive gum research too. Okay.
Okay.
Keep going.
Studies have shown that chewing gum can increase your alertness and intellectual performance. so it's like chewing gum makes you more alert. It's associated with higher productivity and fewer cognitive problems. And these are like, whoa, like legit studies where they're like testing them in activities. So I'm not just like saying randomly, you know what I mean?
Words. Yeah.
It can improve, I said improve performance, but while studying specifically. So when people are like trying to remember things, thinking of study sessions, like chewing makes you more alert.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? So I've actually never thought about how if I was kind of feeling tired, just
chew
gum.
Something. Because your body can't sleep while it's chewing.
They have found that it removes a lot of bacteria from your mouth. So similar amounts that you remove from flossing, but in different areas. And some arguments about this is like, it's not necessarily the bacteria you're needing to get rid of, but it collects
that makes total
bacteria.
Sense like food even
however gum with sugar basically negates this because then the bacteria actually eat off
or like,
that
thanks
and
for
break
a meal
down your enamel. So
sugar-free gum. You hear that a lot
and there's like medical gum and stuff too and even in America it's like the American something association ADA like approved
the America Colgate
I don't know no they approve certain kind of gums to be like this is like gum that's good to chew on it's not gonna give you calories or it's not like sugar based or anything like that
that study's done by Wrigley's.
okay, chewing anything but gum in this case makes your mouth have more saliva, which I need right now, and that protects from mouth decay and erosion because saliva acts as a buffer for your teeth. And then something I didn't realize is it can help with acid reflux because you make more saliva in your mouth and it goes down your throat and it's more basic. And I was like,
whoa,
I get so bad, such bad acid reflux.
Cut to this podcast from now on having Mitch chew on the side. You're like, well, welcome to side note.
I don't know how like immediate of a solution it might be, but that was just something I saw.
Also, it's kind of hot. Like in the movies, it's like
the
a rocker
make it, like,
vibe. Like it means that like the hot guy or girl's there. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Either the girl's like pulling it with her finger, being like, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Or
it's so iconic.
It's like iconic. It's like, yo, I'm like popular girl in the school. Like I got my. And then, or it's a guy like chewing like, yo, what's up?
Yeah.
Like not
like
chewing is the nerd.
Always be doing.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
So it's like, that's cool. It's literally gums cool.
The last thing I was going to say about it is, a really new study with an experimental gum found it could trap 95% of COVID particles in the mouth.
Oh my God.
And so
Midge, Wrigley's made this. That is like absolutely insane.
So this gum contains a virus trapping protein for the ACE2 protein.
Oh my God. Do you mean they're designing it?
For COVID.
Oh my God, I thought you were saying it was already doing it.
Like dentine.
I thought it was like randomly against. We found out the only people who didn't get COVID were chewing gum.
That would definitely be sponsored.
Making gum that will keep the protein attached to the gum. That is so fucking smart. I want that.
And so obviously like you still get particles in your nose, but they were measuring okay. the amounts 95% less in your mouth particles.
That is so cool. Like thinking about how it's so cool
you
to
do gum. You did a full 180
okay,
on
no,
that
but,
one.
Okay, no, because I didn't realize it was designed specifically. I thought you were trying to tell me gum right now was doing that. I'm like, that is absolute bullshit. But it's like, oh, they're designing it experimentally as a medicine.
Call me out
that's
if
so
I said
smart.
That.
Yeah, because well, I was like, no, or I would that. Be like, I want to see proof because like I read so much stuff about COVID like every day. The fact that I haven't stumbled on that is like insane. So I get it. They're experimenting this. But think about how freaking cool it would be to be like at a party. You're like at a party like in May, like whatever, COVID's mm-hmm. still around, but like the cases are down. Chewing gum, because you got some of this on your dang, you got some from the lab. Someone's like, hey, and you're like, hey. And they're like, oh my God. And you're like, can I have some gum? You're like, hell yeah. Actually, this gum actually like latches onto the proteins and makes it so you can't get away COVID. God. That would be the coolest person. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like, I'm like immediately want to make out with you. So that needs to be sold and we need to be
yeah,
a part of
like
that.
Big gum could save us.
Could save us.
Because it's like, you're like you said, it's already kind of like
cool.
Shown as sexy.
Yeah, like easily like Jamie Dornan would be in your like Versace like ad for gum that stops COVID. It would be amazing. I'm just so freaking into that.
That's cool. Yeah. It was very new.
Well, also, okay. Thing about satiation, I just was like, I kind of also thought it was big gum too, but it was a fine study that was like, if you kept chewing after a meal, you stay full for longer.
If you kept chewing after
they
meal?
Would, it was like they would give the people.
Oh, that was a study that you actually,
yeah,
oh.
After they ate the same amount of food as other people.
Whoa.
And then they would stay full for longer. And it, okay, the other cool thing with that study is like satiation. Wait, there's a weird definition. It was like the process that leads to the termination of eating.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I was like, that's a really interesting
but
way
you're
of
right.
putting
I've,
it.
That's so true. Because I've always, that feels so external. And yeah. I always picture satiation like, feeling like oh, I feel
I'm
so,
full. But it's
it
like,
feels good. I like yeah. hit that spot.
But it's actually just the termination of eating.
Which is what I guess correlates with that yeah. feeling. But you know what I mean? Like yeah. to me, being satiated is like an emotion.
Yeah, it yeah, because it's so extreme term. For us now. We have to yeah. have such extreme satiation to stop eating these days. You know what I mean?
So
it's
like true.
It's so rare. But okay, so they were also saying
that's
that, like,
also disgusting. I'm like, how often do I eat to being so full?
Yeah, and I hate that feeling. And I don't do it that much, but when I do, I like and you would kind of want to cry.
Yeah. It's just when food's really good. When I make my own food, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to eat any more of that.
I'm gonna have more of that lentil stew. I'm good.
Oh my God, you didn't even have any because you have your
no, Mitch. I was literally making a general joke about our life,
I'm
not
the one
not
who
the
makes
a
lentil
okay.
stew, and it's been
I was
downstairs
making,
all week.
No, I make lentil stew too. I'm
you
like,
do.
I do. Any one of my stews, I put lentils in. It's the same thing. Yours is just very specific. I'm saying, I was making a general joke, not about the actual lentil stew that is actually in our fridge.
Okay, well, awfully coincidental then is all I'll say.
I'm just saying they're so delicious, but they aren't the same as a pizza. And everyone knows that.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay, so this is just more about like why they think the satiation's happening. And it's like when you chew, you create saliva, which has amylase in it, which breaks down starch. So like that's a cool thing to like even think about. Like mm-hmm. your digestion
is like releasing enzymes.
Yeah, amylase.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's only amylase.
I don't know.
In the yeah, in the saliva, the only enzyme is amylase, and the only thing that starts to break down is starch. Mm. So it's not like you're breaking down like proteins and things like that. But it still is a part of digestion. So they're like, okay, maybe it has something to do with that. Like the fact that you're chewing and amylase is being produced.
More is released.
And therefore, this is not enough science to have like a biological pathway written out that you'd like write on an exam. Mm-hmm. But what they were thinking is maybe it has something to do with like the bolus and like the amylase hitting your stomach. And maybe that sends specific signals to your stomach. And they did find that when people chewed pizza 40 times before swallowing,
they did blood tests, and they found that while chewing, the insulin and glucose levels were higher, and two other factors were higher that do suppress ghrelin, the hunger hormone. So they were like, okay, we don't know what it is, but there's something about chewing that they did find affects certain biological markers to turn off
ghrelin. The hunger hormone.
Yeah, and ghrelin is what is released when you are hungry in the brain to signal you to eat.
Right.
So that was a way that they kind of started to like do a bit of biochemistry to link it to neurology, but it's still kind of like loose.
No, that's so interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I was almost like, I've kind of heard that too, where it's like chewing, it preps your body. So if, but I'm more, it doesn't necessarily correlate to me why, I guess the hunger hormone is how I didn't think about it.
Yeah,
'cause I kind of thought if your body's digesting more, you're actually getting through it faster. Won't you be hungry sooner?
Yeah. So, okay.
But it's actually like because of the hormone that makes you feel full.
And you're digesting it better, essentially, too.
Oh, maybe you're absorbing, getting more nutrients.
Because it's like, if it's linked to insulin and glucose, maybe, yeah, you're getting more nutrients from it.
That's one thing I always think. Maybe this is like an old wives' tale, but when I was young, I feel like I was told, or I imagined, if you chew too much, I knew it like preps your stomach, and feel like I've heard then your stomach can be more acidic because you're like actually not digesting food. And I feel like that's why I've always been like, I'm not supposed to chew a lot of gum.
Well,
someone told me
weird,
that.
But
point.
Also, well, there is a study in one of our videos about how when you chew gum and don't eat food, it does impact your stomach.
Hmm. Like, so studies are also then taking into consideration, like, if you're eating on a regular basis, obviously, maybe it's enough to not make it a problem.
Well, it's interesting. It's a gum thing. It's like, I always actually remember being like, yeah, that's why gum's bad. Because you're signaling your body that there's food in your mouth, but there's not. And that's so funny, because it's like, that's kind of like what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it does feel like you had some really epic big gum studies there.
I know.
Like, it is like, because it's like, yeah, like, it's just interesting.
Yeah, there was really nothing bad about, like, when I was trying to look up the bad gum stuff, it really was just that it's high sugar levels. Mm-hmm. So it's like really like going to cause cavities in your mouth and stuff. So obviously then it was just that approved gum that has no sugars.
It is weird, because essentially the reason chewing and...
But you know what? Sorry, you go finish.
Yeah. No, the reason chewing is so interesting and why we're talking about it from a science perspective right now is because, unlike when we were hunter-gatherers and eating was like a more patterned thing, we've changed it so much. So it's like weird. Like, we chew way more than we did before because of gum, maybe, but we chew way less because our food's processed before
us.
So
it's actually
and easier. We like sip smoothies. So I'm like, we're in this weird extreme. Maybe,
but do you know
ends.
That we chew less?
No, we don't. Because
processed foods can still be chewy.
True. But I do feel like there's sort of like...
But our bodies are digesting differently.
Yeah.
For chew
and what I have like... There's that famous like science breath book that I think is kind of annoying sometimes, a different episode, but there's a lot in that about chewing and how we aren't chewing enough. And like their whole point that like we aren't chewing enough.
Like maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe there is like just if we were on fully whole foods diets, you'd have to chew
and
more
like
overall.
Even the concept of a smoothie, like that didn't exist. Like you'd have to eat the nut.
Yeah.
Like we like blend things. We also do process things. Although things can be made chewy with like glycerol or like... Mm. But like in general, like a white bun, hamburger bun, is not as chewy as like
a whole grain,
thing you cooked, or even just the raw oats, not even processed into flour. So that's like
that is interesting. What was I going to say now? Oh, I was thinking of how there is imagery though in my mind of like picture like how cowboys chew on grass.
Yeah.
And like I'm trying to think like I feel like different cultures like chew on.
Or maybe the hunter gatherers were chewing just on a little bit of barley.
On leaves or on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I feel like maybe chewing is just like part of like, because I was like, oh yeah, they obviously didn't have gum, but the gum tree, like I don't know when gum was founded, to be honest. Should have looked that up.
I know. In the big article,
right,
the Wrigley's sponsored,
like,
big
I did
gum
all my
article
research.
It was a history of the gum plant. Have you ever, because when you said cowboys, it made me think of like weirdly how every like straight guy at my camp who was like an athlete would chew tobacco.
Oh, ew.
And I was just like, because when you said the cowboy thing, I kind of pictured the chewing tobacco thing, but I'm like, that's completely different. But I know what you mean by the cowboy in the grass.
Yeah. And I was just trying to think of other things that like people might have chewed on as like, even just like bark could taste good. You know what I mean? Like just even like when I have strings on my like sweater, I like to chew on.
Yeah. Oh my God. Remember the so kids like, who would chew their, actually I do that.
Chew my nails.
I used to like, chew my sweater. I used to be that kid that would chew my sweater. And then I'd get like chapped lips.
Okay. You get chapped lips. Wow. You did it on.
Wait. Oh, I want to do an episode on chapped lips.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like on chapstick and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that is. Oh my God. I'm so curious. Now that is an industry that has taken over and tricked us all, because don't they say that you put it on and it makes your lips more dry?
There we go. Upcoming
episode.
That's
the world's greatest conspiracy about lip tap is that big lip.
Well,
it's getting us addicted.
Literally tune in next week when we do the episode of Mitch's gets the big bliss deck study. Yeah, like, well, did you know?
I'm like, big lip, you have a week to give us a sponsor.
Lip balm is amazing. I thought it was a tale I was told.
I mean, it might be.
But yeah, tell me about the gum tree.
Oh, actually, I just like, I think, so it says chewing gum, 5,000-year-old chewing gum made from birch bark tar. Like it's existed like for thousands of years, but in this, I'm just on Wikipedia, it says modern chewing gum was first developed in the 1860s.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that have like, come get the newspaper. You want the chewing gum?
Yeah, like, gum is like vibe. What we're thinking of. But there were like other ways that cultures would make forms of gum.
A form of gum. Yeah. That's interesting. Okay. Have you ever chewed tobacco? Last thing before we go.
No, that's like, I don't want to. And it looks absolutely disgusting.
So you never even like try like a cigarette?
I like, well, I think once in my life I had like a puff of a cigarette and
you've only smoked a cigarette once
and like a puff of it. Yeah.
Did that is that so cool.
Have you done more?
Well, like not that much more, but definitely more.
What else haven't you told me?
Wait, Mitch, what the hell?
I'm joking.
Like, I'm like, wait, why are you yelling? Imagine we broke up over this. No, I haven't ever just been like one puff, never smoked a cigarette again.
You smoked
life,
a
cool.
whole cigarette?
I went on like an art trip to France to France in grade 12 and I was like out and gay. I was like, I'm smoking Vogues now. And I like would like buy packs of cigarettes. They were like menthol. And I was like, remember by the end, like kind of coughing because I'd smoked like 6-pack cigarettes. I mean, like, I don't know what it's gonna be like when I go home. Like you can't even get Vogues there.
6 packs of
like
cigarettes.
I thought I had a cigarette addiction because I went to France for 1 week. But then I came home and just was like, never thought about it again.
That is insane, Greg.
And then a lot of my friends smoke, so sometimes you just get drunk. You're like, yeah, I'll have one. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, and it feels like you literally wake up and it's like, my whole esophagus is like shattered open.
Oh my God. I really live a sheltered existence.
But that's not, it's still not that much. Oh, it's cool that you've only done that.
I'm so curious how many other people have that experience. Like, you know, you can Instagram us or whatever. Yeah. Like, how many
have you ever just tried it once and never again?
Yeah. Like, that's I thought so that was cool. The experience of a lot of people. That was just kind of like, a lot of people are like, I've literally never tried it. And B, people who would be like, oh, maybe I've like literally took a puff and then just was like, I tried it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I try anything once kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and that's why I did it. And then I was like, oh, immediately no. Immediately no.
Immediately no. And then you've never dipped.
I've never dipped again, but obviously in the marijuana pile, I have.
Yeah.
So it's not just smoking.
Oh my God. I literally, by dip was meaning the way of saying chewed tobacco.
Oh, no, I've never dipped.
So know what? That's the thing too. It's like, I have tried chewing tobacco, but that's only.
Wait, is dip the same as chewing tobacco?
Yeah. It's like fiberglass and.
I thought you chewing tobacco, I thought was something different. I thought dip was like, yeah, you put here.
True. Maybe there is a difference. But the thing I'm talking about is dip and it's like disgusting. And I realize I've tried it twice and I never, ever, ever would have if I didn't go to a camp where everyone was addicted to dipping. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's like this weird one part of my life where I was surrounded by it. But then it wouldn't be surprising for me to be like, you've never, like, it's not surprising that you've never done chewing tobacco. It's more surprising that I have.
I mean, I was around it though.
Oh, you were?
I was around dip, but I don't.
Where?
In high school.
No way. No one did that at my high school.
And people would do it on the bus and stuff all the time. Like on the school
bus.
And like boys would do it. And I remember one time a boy in our school did it on a school trip and was kind of like whatever and didn't know you're not supposed to swallow it and then barfed out the window.
Oh my God. It's fiberglass.
Yeah. Oh. So he just like did it was the first time and some like boys were passing it around the back of the bus or something.
Oh my God. Me? What the second time and last time I did it was like, okay, like the first time I did it was like stone cold sober with like a group of guys and it was like me being like, oh, I'm gay, like, okay, fine, let me try, and everyone was like watching. I was like, I'm like this much, and then I put it in, like, oh my God. And then I'm like I just stuck it, it's just stupid, and I like spit in the bell. I'm like, you guys are all, it was, then it was me like roasting them, like, you guys are so fucking weird, this is disgusting, you're all gay, like, and then it was like funny and like whatever, but I never did it again because it was like, this is fucked, and like
I was doing it to learn about what all my friends were doing, and I just roasted them because I was like, this is actually insane. But the second time I did it, I was at a party and I was drunk and I was with my friend, and it was like we went into the basement where there was just like the cool guys, and they were all like smoking weed and dipping, and like obviously we're like a bit out of place, and we're like, hey, what's up, fucking cool guys, what are you dipping? And we're like, we're joking, and they're like, yeah, I want to try it, and they were like laughing. We're like, yeah, we'll dip. And we put it in, and both of us passed out. Like, both of us were like, we were like roasting them, and then both of us went, it was me and Allie, we were like, hey, do you feel okay? And then we were like, and we had to sit down, and like, because we both got such head rushes, so we lost our literal like consciousness for a bit, and then came back and like kept trying to be like, losers, but they were all like, are you guys okay? Like, you guys are losers.
It does that?
It does that, especially if you've been drinking. Like, because the first time I did it, I did get a head rush. And, like, you do notice. That's why people do it. It gives you a head rush. But mixed with, like, probably the weed and alcohol, I mean, we both, and she actually, like, was, like, I was, like, kept awake by being, like, are you, like, I had to, like, slap her face and then stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was crazy.
I had no idea. It freaks me out. Yeah. Like, and I feel so weird that I have just, like, in the one time I smoked a cigarette, I only felt the burning part, and I didn't feel like any of the, like, I didn't get a head rush at all, but I only did one puff.
Yeah, no, just one puff. And I do think that chewing tobacco, to end on this, and chewing is really way more intense than cigarettes. I think, from at least my experience.
Like, well, it seems like less people do it, so probably it is like taking it a step further.
Okay, I honestly need to, like, that is so funny. Like, I'm just picturing that situation, and I'm like, that is so funny that she just, I remember seeing Allie just like go down after making fun of them. I'm like, it's such an intense thing.
Like maybe, yeah.
Like putting like a bloody thing in your lip.
Yeah, to cut open your mouth and to get a drug. There's no drug you could sell like me anyway to be cut yourself open and
suck it through your, God.
But then I guess it's like, it is just a form of hypocrisy where it's like, but I will breathe it into my lungs.
Yeah, that's true. To one of the thinnest membranes in my body. That's so true. That is so true.
So it's kind of hypocritical. It is just like any way to get a drug, really, right?
Yeah, into your blood. Or just a syringe right into that
vein. Oh my gosh. All right. Shall that be it?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening.
I'm
and
so
watching.
Excited for one on Lipsol.
Yeah, you wrote it down, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's a really
good
one. Okay, cool.
Peace.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.